In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We are riding this wave of 500th anniversaries. Of course, it all started in 2017 when we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation itself. Then in 2021, we were celebrating the 500th anniversary of Worms. Then shortly thereafter, we were celebrating the 500th anniversary of Luther's translation of the New Testament into German. We got more coming down the pike, obviously. We're going to be in a few years, in 2029, we'll be celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Catechism. Then a year later, it'll be the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Now, those are not a surprise in the least. Of course, we're going to celebrate those. I suggest that we integrate a few more celebrations that maybe aren't quite as apparent. For example, I have in mind a specific incident that involves a member of the Radical Reformation. This one was specifically an Amsterdam Anabaptist who, upon reading Isaiah chapter 6, was convinced that the Lord would do for him what he had done for Isaiah. So he used some tongs to get a burning coal and placed it to his lips. And it would be more than 2 weeks before he would be preaching again. Now, I appreciate this account for a couple of reasons. Number one is, it's a good reminder about the difference between a descriptive text and a prescriptive text. Isaiah 6 here is describing what the Lord did specifically for Isaiah. It is not prescribing how he's going to cleanse our lips. But the second reason I appreciate it is this: that radical reformer got something very right. The most prominent part of a prophet is his lips. Through the lips of Isaiah would pass the very word of Yahweh. Now, how glorious is that? Because the grass is going to wither, the flower is going to fade, but the word of Yahweh that passes through Isaiah's lips will stand forever. And notice what it will even do for Isaiah. It is such a glorious and beautiful word that it will make Isaiah's feet beautiful. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him who proclaims good news, who says, "Your God reigns." The beautiful words coming out of the lips make the lips beautiful and down to the feet and everything in between. And it's not only that it makes them beautiful, that word does stuff. After all, it's not going to return to the Lord void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it, just as the snow comes down and waters the earth. But that's also a bit troubling. Because though Isaiah's lips are going to deliver the word of Yahweh, if we had continued our reading a little bit further, the very next thing we'd be hearing is the Lord telling Isaiah that you're going to go to a people, you're going to deliver my word, and though they hear my word, they will not understand it. Now, how frustrating is that? You speak the word of the Lord, and people don't get it. They don't respond. And then the natural question becomes, what is wrong with my lips? The problem isn't the word of the Lord. It must be my lips that aren't getting it right. As distressing as that's going to be for Isaiah, even more troubling for him is the discrepancy between his lips and the words that come forth from them. He's given to proclaim the pure word of Yahweh, and yet what does he know? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I am among a people of unclean lips. And so are we. There is a stark contrast between how the seraphim handle the name of the Lord and how it's treated by those among whom we live. Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth. Holy, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth. His name is holy, saturated in goodness and in beauty. And then your ears are stained by those who treat it as profane, dripping in evil and ugliness. So how do you respond when the name that is above all names is used as an expletive? Yaroslav Vida has taught me that one of the best things you can do is just simply pause and reverence the name, even when it's being treated as unholy, because it is holy in and of itself. My wife will simply ask, "Do you kiss your mother with those lips?" It is a poverty, but it's not surprising to hear the name mishandled in our age. The far greater poverty is what we, who name Jesus as Lord, what we do with our lips. Now, we've been formed so that our lips are not going to treat his name as a throwaway word. We will treat it with the gravity that it bears. But then the name of a brother or sister in Christ will pass through our lips as if passing through daggers. The issue is not that we disagree with one another and that we will debate with one another over whatever it may be. The trouble is the ad hominem attack that sullies the name of one who bears the name of Christ, rather than engaging in a thoughtful discussion about the issue at hand. That is our corporate shame. Woe is me, for I am among a people of unclean lips. And the shame isn't just corporate, it's personal and individual. I am a man of unclean lips. Now, I believe in the importance of a pastor knowing when he ought to be quiet, and that includes in the midst of the divine service at times. The pastor needs to silence his lips so that the congregation has a voice. For example, when pastor delivers the collect, it's then good for him to silence his lips so the congregation gets their amen, by which they take ownership of the prayer. But there is one point always in the liturgy where Kevin's voice is loud and distinct. The pastoral office, after all, is holy, but Kevin has unclean lips. So his voice is distinct during the confession. There is that, again, that worrisome discrepancy that faced Isaiah. How can these unclean lips be used by the Lord to deliver his pure word? My lips need to be burned clean, and there is not a burning coal up to the task. But the word of Yahweh is up to the task. For Isaiah, Yahweh attached his word of absolution specifically to a burning coal. For me, for you, he delivers his word of absolution directly into our ears through the pastor. LSB 292, the rite of private confession and absolution, includes this glorious exchange between pastor and penitent. Do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Yes. Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so lips are cleansed, feet are made beautiful, and everything between them. No more shame, only the honor of lips that are made worthy to join with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven in proclaiming Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth. Holy, 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 Yahweh Sabaoth. All because the word of Yahweh does not return to him void, It accomplishes exactly what he sent it out to do. From the lips to the heart and on to the rest of your members, his word cleanses you. Lips cleansed and hallowed to proclaim the good news that your God reigns, reigning with words of honor and not of shame. Words that pour forth from him to you and then on to one another. Lips cleansed and hallowed to deliver balm to a brother or sister whose name has been wounded. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.